Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, where we interview entrepreneurs who are living their best life working from their happy place. My name is Belinda Ellsworth, and I'm going to be your host. Today, we have a great show in store for you. I have Nicole Roberts-Jones with me. She is uniquely gifted at one thing, drawing out what's best in you and helping you take your brilliance to the bank. A veteran of the entertainment industry, Nicole worked in talent management and casting before shifting her talents to help others bankroll their brilliance. She now works with entrepreneurs to create multiple streams of income from what they already know in order to build an empire from their expertise. Nicole is also a nationally recognized transformational speaker, purpose to paycheck expert, and best-selling author of 4 books, the most recent being Find Your Fierce. It is my pleasure to welcome Nicole to our show today.
Yay, excited to be here. Excited about this conversation.
Oh, I'm excited about it as well. So let's just jump in here, fill in some of these gaps of your bio. Mm-hmm. And people are more interested about your journey. How did you get to be an expertise in all these great areas? And what was the road that led you there?
So, you know, what's interesting is many people say, tell me about your journey to be an entrepreneur. So let me say off the bat, I never wanted to be an entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. So as you read in my bio, I worked at entertainment. So as far as I can remember, ever since I was like 7 or 8 years old, my dream was always to work in Hollywood. And there I was doing it. I was doing the thing that I always dreamed of, right? So at the time I worked for Viacom's largest network. We had an outreach to 89 million homes on a weekly basis. From there, I was elevated into a casting position working on the number one TV show on Fox. And then from there, I worked with an entertainment group, and what we produced generated over $12.6 billion a year. And I'm only telling you that so you guys can get a context of where I had gotten, right? So I was living a dream. Plus, you know, well, you don't know me like this yet, Belinda, but I was going to all the hot Hollywood parties, right? Bumping elbows with stars, you know, people you've seen on TV and have looked at on films. So I was living the dream. But I need you guys to get this. It had become my nightmare. Because somewhere along the way, again, Hollywood was great. Don't get me wrong. I still miss the parties. But somewhere I felt like something was missing. So I love the conversation that you have around work from your happy place, because I was scared to tell anybody at the beginning of feeling like this because of perception, because of public opinion, because of what everyone told me I should do or be, and how dare I not be happy? And I'm here, right? I got to the place.
Yeah.
And so in the middle of feeling all of that, and then I'll hush and let you ask me another question, but just so you guys can see how I got to this place, my happy place, right? In the middle of me feeling dazed and confused, to be honest with you, you know, on one end, living this dream that felt like a nightmare. And on this other end, thinking, what the heck else could I do? This is all I've ever dreamed about.
Right.
So in the middle of feeling that, one of my girlfriends invited me to volunteer at a program at our church. And that night, as I started working with young women, I saw their eyes light up. And as their eyes lit up, my heart lit up. And I realized, oh, my God, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. But this was 1993. There was no such thing as a coach. So I had no idea what to call this thing. And yet at the same time, for the first time in my life, my soul was alive. So to make a really long story short, because I felt so alive and because I felt so excited, and I had never felt like this before, I started to pursue this thing. And so therein lies began my entrepreneurial journey. And I started coaching women, and the rest is history.
Okay, so I want to ask this because I think this is a question that I get asked all of the time, and I think our listeners want to understand this. So you didn't just go home after that night and quit your job, or did you?
No. That would be so. Now, if anybody did this, know that I love you, right? But that's just stupid. So why I say that is because you have to pay bills. I've got to eat. I've got to be able to have lights, you know? So when you want to start a business, if you just jump out, you know, people say, say, jump out in faith. And I'm like, you realize that God wrote a whole book in the Bible called Proverbs. That's the book of wisdom, right?
Exactly.
So when people say jump out of faith, it's like, no, you need to have calculated faith. You need to have planned out faith, meaning that you're not sure if the plan you have is going to work because you can't see it, but you've made the whole plan. And now you've got to do is work the plan and things will shift along the way. And so for me, that night when I went home, first of all, I didn't know what this thing was that I was doing was called. So I started as a volunteer alongside my 9-to-5. I started a program for teenage girls. That's how I started in this. And it was as a volunteer. So I did that a good 2 or 3 years. And then I realized, okay, I really want to find a job doing this thing. And I started looking at one ad. So it's like one thing led to the next, led to the next, led to the next, until my girl started having more grown women problems, is what I would call it. Like, I have the job I always wanted, but something seems like it's missing, which I was like, hey, that's the same problem I had. And so I realized that I really enjoyed working in that. And so now that is what my business has become. But it grew over time because, again, I didn't know what to call it and what it was.
Perfect. And the reason I ask that is because there's just so many misconceptions out there. And then I hear from people. So we do a lot of interviews and focus groups from our listeners. And they're always saying, like, but what was that journey? What was that time frame? Or like, did they always just say, oh, I was in this job and then I got tired of it. And then suddenly I was making $200,000 a year. And it's like, no, it didn't happen like that overnight. So I just want to make sure that they understand that, because it does sometimes take a hustle. It takes working another job alongside the one that you have until you can carve that out. Like you said, volunteering. It takes educating yourself. It takes really a deep dive a lot of times and a lot of hard work and hustle in order to sort of manage both of those and work that plan until then you can actually say, I'm doing what I set out to do.
But, you know, as you said that, you know, the thing that just pops in my mind is there's a difference between cash equity and sweat equity. So for me, so I've been doing this now for 27 years, even though I'm still 28. I've been doing this for a really long time, right? So I'm only sharing that with you because it took me 17 years to make any money. And so it took me that long because here's what I was doing. And I hear from so many of my clients that say the same thing. And that's why I want to share it here in this conversation, that they work extra hours. I'm gonna work longer. I'm going to work my whole Saturday. Okay, I'm going to add a couple extra hours on Sunday. And just because you're working longer hours, if you're doing the same thing over and over, but you're expecting a different result, yeah, that's the definition of insanity, right? So that's what I mean by sweat equity. So you just keep working harder and harder and harder and harder, doing the same thing over and over, but nothing's shifting. So I had to realize 17 years in, just because I was working an extra hour at night, or I started getting up at 4 a.m., but I was still doing the same stuff. So it wasn't working. So the cash equity I put in was I hired a coach. And so it was that coach that was 10 steps ahead of me. She knew what I didn't know, right? Because if I've never done this before, how the heck do I think? I don't care if I have a master's degree. If I've never done this before, then my tools that I have are not going to be adequate enough for this next level I'm trying to get to.
Exactly. So how has this now shaped your lifestyle today? Share with us, like, fast forward us now and tell us about your lifestyle today.
So I will tell you that I never feel like I'm working. You know, I feel like some days I wake up and I'm like, am I really working today? Do I need to pinch myself? So, you know, the thing that I will say, that when you begin to do the thing that I believe, it's when you work in your purpose, when you are doing the thing that you're purposed to do, I think we all have gifts and talents. And so even when I worked in entertainment and my gift was talent management, casting, and really seeing the greatness in someone and being able to put them in the right role, I do the same thing now, right? And so for me, I get to choose my days. I get to choose that I don't work on Fridays. I get to choose, like, my husband went to Dubai a few months ago, and I just said, okay, I want to go. And I can do that because I can work from wherever. So I can travel the world. I can get up and be on my own schedule. I can not work on Fridays. I can do all those things and still make multiple six figures.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. I love it that you take Fridays off. You know, sometimes I'm traveling on Fridays if I'm speaking. And so then that ends up being a travel day or whatever. But other than that, I take Fridays off and I give my whole staff Fridays off because I just think people should have Fridays off.
And that's the same reason why, because I usually travel too on Thursday, Friday when I'm speaking. So when I'm at home, you know, and the other thing I had to start doing, so if I travel Thursday, Friday because I'm speaking on a Saturday, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Then I give myself Monday off. So it's at least I might get it on the front end. But if I'm at home for the week, like this week, I'm home for the week. So that means that Friday I have off.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, same here. You know, it's funny because I have sort of set Wednesday for, because I always traveled on the weekends. I'm not doing as much traveling as I was, but forever and ever, Wednesday has always been my light day or like sometimes do nothing day or the day I save for going to lunch with my girlfriends or whatever I want to do, because it kind of was in the middle and it sort of gave me, you know, work really hard at the beginning of the week, sort of get my day off, if you will. And then then I was usually always traveling on Friday. But now that that has shifted a bit, I'm just like you. I'll take that Wednesday off in the middle if I've been traveling, but otherwise, like this week for me, I'm home too. So I've got Friday just clear, right?
Right. And but I love it.
It's really important, though, that people understand that is we all need some time to, you know, either be creative or if you're working every single minute and you don't schedule any time for yourself to refresh, renew, be able to be in a creative space. It will become overwhelming. You'll get burned out. So I just do think it's important for people to understand why that's important.
Yeah, listen, if we have to plug our cell phones in, our smartphones, iPhone, whatever it is you have, if those have to be plugged in and be charged up, then how come we don't have to be charged up in some kind of way?
That's a great analogy. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about skill sets, because I love talking about people's sort of natural born talents or like their skill set that they think their superpower that has sort of helped them achieve success.
Right. So I call that your fierce. So, and it's a play off of Beyonce. So Belinda, if you haven't learned this yet, I'm very transparent. So let me just be honest with all of you. Maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, I was watching Beyonce on TV and I was hating on her just a little bit, just a little jealous, right? Just because I'm like, if I could sing and dance, girl, I'd be up there with you, right? Just thinking in the back of my mind, knowing good and darn well, if I could sing and dance, I still probably couldn't sing and dance like that. But anyways, I was thinking it and at the same time, trying to talk myself out of having that little hateful moment. What dropped in my spirit was, you have fierce in you too. And I'm like, what does that mean? And so instead of boring you with the whole conversation I had with myself and with God in that moment, what I began to realize is, you just said, we all have this alter ego. And so if you think about who Sasha Fierce is, for those of you that are familiar with Beyonce, which should be all of you, or else I'm wondering where you've been the last few years, right? When Beyonce she used to use Sasha Fierce, if you don't notice this anyway, but she brought out this alter ego when she was leaving Destiny's Child and she was standing on stage by herself for the first time so that she could be all of who she is without apology. So I want you to imagine what life is like when you stop letting everyone tell you who you should be. You stop letting perception lead you and you stand in your fullness, your full gifts and talents without apology. And so it's been really my mission to help women find their fierce. So I'm going to share those right now. Is that okay?
Yes, I would love that.
Okay, great. So the first P is passion. Like, what are you passionate about? What could you do hours upon hours upon hours and never get paid for it, right? So I don't know about you, Belinda, but this was me for years, that I would, you know, do things and think to myself, well, can't everybody do this? And it's like, no. And even the people that can do it, they don't do it like you do it. So the first P is passion. The second P is proficiency. Like, what are you proficient in? What are you really, really great at? And so the first two have to correlate, because if you're good at it, but you hate it, not good. Or if you're really great at it, but you're not, or you really love it, but you're not great at it. So if I give you an example, when I was trying to figure out what was next for me, I love shopping. Love it. So I thought, well, maybe I'm meant to be a stylist. And then I realized, yeah, I'm not good at this for anybody else. I actually don't even like shopping for other people. I only like shopping for me. So I had to rethink that. which then leads into the third P, which is, what problem does it solve? You have to understand that your gift is the answer to somebody's problem. And when you can begin to package it and you can be the answer someone needs and will pay for, that's when you move into the last P, which is profit. Like, how do you make money from it? So those are the four P's of my FIERCE framework. And those, you know, and those women that are in corporate, if you're not looking for profit, just in case you're listening and you still are in corporate America, the fourth P is what position would that be? Because here's the thing, companies hire you for the company to make profit. Your position helps them get to that profit. So either way, you still have FIERCE that you should be living in.
Very good. Well, thanks for sharing those. That's awesome. So let's talk about one of your most outstanding accomplishments that's pretty thrilling for you. Has great meaning.
That's a good question. I think for me, my most thrilling accomplishment was to walk away from my dream job, to be honest with you. That was probably the hardest thing to do, not knowing how I was going to make money. And it was 3 years after I started this group for for teenage girls in my church, as I told you guys, that group became its own nonprofit. That nonprofit soon had 10 chapters in 10 states. And so when it started growing is when I quit, but I still always had a part-time job doing something else. And so I think just even being able to shift out of entertainment, which is all I ever knew, into this whole land of coaching and developing programs was a scary chess move is what I call it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it takes a lot of courage to do that. Yeah. But I'm sure that not only you felt that way, like this is what I dreamed about. It's almost like my dream came true. And then it isn't even like you said, I love the way you said it became my nightmare. But I'm sure everyone around you was like, what are you doing? Like, uh-huh. You've got everything I'd ever want. I'm sure they thought you had lost your mind. So it takes a lot to be super honest. I think that you have to be honest with yourself, and then you have to find that way to make yourself happy, or it's okay to abandon something just because you thought it was your dream. Sometimes then when that dream sort of becomes a reality, you realize this isn't all that in a bag of chips like I thought it was. And it's important for people to identify that.
Absolutely.
Great. So let's now talk about maybe an obstacle or challenge that you have faced along this way. And let's talk about one since you kind of had this new career and this new journey. Like, what is something that was just like, wow, I had to figure this out. It was a bit of a challenge, but we worked through it.
I'm getting paid for it. So because I discounted my greatness, right? Again, I said this a few minutes ago when I walked through my four-step framework that, and everything I say is because I went through it. I'm not someone that just reads or learned it. I actually walk the walk. So for me, it took me a long time to really understand that my intellectual property wasn't the same as everybody else's, and begin to ask people to pay for it. I think knowing my worth, that was the biggest challenge for me at the beginning, especially.
And then how did you figure that out? Like, that's a question I get asked. How do I know what to charge, or how do I know what I'm valued at, or when is it? And I give different people answers, like on when I increased my speaking fee. It's like when I had no more opening dates, and then you realize I'm completely filled. So obviously, if people are really wanting you, then it's your time that you get to evaluate, what am I charging? But was there something in there for you that helped you to identify what is my worth?
I think for me, the first thing was understanding the value of my intellectual property. I think that was the hang up for me. And so really understanding that my gift is the answer to someone, and the value of that answer, and how it moves people's businesses forward or careers forward. Mm-hmm. I think really me knowing that first, and then being able to say, mind you, I remember I had a coach. Let me just be all the way transparent. So when I first started my teenage program with girls, I was working with churches. And so here I am now coaching women, and I'm having this whole community service problem, right? Because I kept feeling like, oh my God, how do I charge people? Mm-hmm. So I had a coach, and my coach yelled at me, is how I felt. She pretty much yelled at me in my session about speaking for free. So I remember getting on the phone, the next person that called me to speak somewhere was a church. I'm like, really, Lord? I just got yelled at for free, and now you're going to make me charge a church, right? This is what I'm thinking in my head. And the first lady says, how much do you cost? I said my fee, and she said, okay, do you want to sit at the Embassy Suites or the Hilton? I thought, oh my God, it's my issue. Right. And so it's being able to speak it first, and then you begin to feel it. And I think sometimes we think we're going to feel it first. I don't think that's always the case. It's knowing your worth. But then sometimes in the middle, you trying to stand in your worth, you've got to speak it, and then you feel it. So that was my journey. And after that, I haven't had a problem.
Very good. So what's working from your happy place mean to you? This is like our signature question of the show.
I think living in my happy place means that it's really legacy building. I feel like the more I'm happy, it's a trickle effect to every person I touch, whether it's a client, my husband, my step bonus children, I call them, you know, no matter who it is, me being the happiest version of me, it trickles into every area of my life and it really begins to expand and reach others. So I think it's so important that the happier you are, the happier those around you are.
Absolutely. It's just it's a fun journey. I think if for other people, it is being able to set their own schedule. Like those are the main answers that I get. But I really do think when you know that you're helping someone else, there's something so gratifying in that it just makes you happy. And it continues to renew you as you continue to meet new people and you realize the impact that you have on them.
Right. And the other thing, too, I think, you know, when you're especially because I say bonus children because I don't have children of my own, thank God, because I don't have any stretch marks. But when the children in your life, whether they're your own or your nieces or cousins or whoever, when they see you happy, what that transcends for them. Right. Mm-hmm. So even when I wrote my first book and I wrote all my books are for women, my stepson read my first book and he first was mad that he's like, I can learn from this too. I'm like, yeah, but I've never been a boy. I don't know that. But anyway, the things that he started telling me he got from reading my book and to see the light in his eyes meant more than any paycheck I've ever gotten.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So let's talk now about what advice would you give to others wanting to get on this entrepreneurial journey? They are saying, wow, she's really inspirational. You know, took a lot of guts to do that. What advice would you give those?
So one, get clear on, I walked you through the four steps of your fierce framework. So at least get clear on the first two, what you're passionate and proficient in, and be unapologetic about it. One. And then the second thing I would say is you have to do it afraid. So if what you're doing is bigger or different than where you are now, then you're not going to know what it looks like. It's not going to be easy. The thing that always sticks with me is your conviction and your convenience can never coexist.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. And it is so true. And I love it. You have to do it afraid. It's like you can't wait for everything to be perfect.
Right.
Because there is going to be no perfect time ever. And you have to be willing to, this is the issues I hear with so many women. It's not just women, it's men. Women just talk about it more freely is the truth of it. But there's this fear of failure for everyone. And you've got to understand that there's going to be, just because you have tiny failures along the way, those are just struggles. They're just bumps in the road. They're just roadblocks. And you learn to navigate your way around them. But that doesn't mean you're failing big. So I always just say fail forward. You know, you're just failing forward until you get to that end result that you want to get. And as you make twists and turns along the way, it might not be exactly as you pictured it in the beginning, but it comes out to being the success that you sort of set your mind on. So
right.
I just want to encourage people that you can be afraid and it doesn't have to be perfect and you are going to have bumps along the road and you might even have partial failures along the road, but just keep focused, especially if it is your passion and you talked about passion and proficiency.
Proficiency, yes. And can I say too that every failure I've ever had has been the greatest lessons I've ever had. So I feel like in the middle of failure, if you can learn a lesson, you actually come out better. It might not feel good, but it's for your good.
Absolutely. So tell us some new and exciting things maybe that you're working on that our listeners would benefit from. And then I also want you to tell everyone how they can find you.
Sure. So I'm always, you know, one of the things, I don't know that I'm working on anything new per se. I feel like I'm always speaking, writing, doing programs, stuff like that. So, but nothing necessarily new that I'm working on right now. The thing I would say is for those of you that are at a place that you're trying to really bankroll your brilliance, I do want to give you my free ebook, bankrollyourbrilliancebook.com, which will walk you through 15 ways to get paid for what you know that will help you move wherever you are forward. So again, that's That's bankrollyourbrilliancebook.com. And then to follow me. So I am a big IG Instagram person now. I'm loving Instagram. I'm over Facebook. So come follow me on Instagram. N. Roberts Jones is the best way to get everything that I'm up to, whether it's on my post or my IG stories. You will be fully abreast of all that is Nicole Roberts Jones.
Well, this has absolutely been delightful. I just want to thank you so very much for your insight, your wisdom, sharing your story, and even giving us a few training tips along the way. I just think that makes for an awesome interview. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for holding the space that we all work from our happy place. It is so needed. And I really do appreciate you for it.
Oh, well, thank you. And if you are listening today and you loved this interview, please subscribe, and that way you won't miss a single episode. I know recently I've been on my treadmill every day, really trying to get into some better health and get ready for summer. And I've been listening to a podcast that I'm really loving, but I simply forgot to subscribe to it. So it's just to click that subscribe button. And when I went back to listen to it again, it wasn't on there and all the episodes weren't on. So I had to go find it. So I just want to encourage everyone, if you just subscribe, it makes finding the podcast easy. It makes your life easier, and you'll always be notified of when we have a new exciting interview. So once again, Nicole, thank you so much for being our guest on Work From Your Happy Place.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.